The fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. Quintus Sertorius and Pompey. Now, Quintus Sertorius was unquestionably one of the greatest military commanders in the history of Rome, one that most Roman historians are almost completely unaware of. That's due basically to the period he fought, the social wars, to the rise of the first triumvirate. Under Marius, he fought in the Cimbrian War and the social wars. This is the period where he learned how to train and discipline troops. For 8 years, with units made up of a few Roman officers and some temperamental Spanish troops, Sertorius had repeatedly vanquished the mightiest armies Rome could throw against him. Had the democratic leaders, who had mismanaged the war against Sulla in 83 BC, only utilized the military and political talents of Sertorius instead of shipping him off to Spain, they might have changed the history of the Republic. Had Sertorius been in command of the Samnite fighters at the Battle of Collins Gate, Sulla probably would never have become dictator of Rome. Militarily, there could have been little doubt of the change in the political outcome, but it must be assumed based on what Sertorius did basically when he was in charge of Spain, which was a very, very difficult province. In Spain from 82 to 72 BC, following the provincial policies of Fulvius Flaccus and Gaius Gracchus, Sertorius attempted to Romanize the provincials and then make them the standard bearers of Roman civilization. First of all, he accepted many Spaniards and Portuguese as Roman citizens. Second, he admitted some of their leaders into his opposition senate against Sulla. And third, he established a school for the education of upper-class youths of the Spanish and Portuguese. By war, diplomacy, and sheer force of personality, Sertorius had acquired an authority over the Spanish people, such as no native chieftain, not even the legendary Viraithras, had ever wielded. He taught the thousands who flocked to his standard to fight as Roman soldiers without destroying their national aptitude for guerrilla warfare. He appealed to their superstitions by pretending to receive all of his secret information from a white fawn, which is actually, supposedly, a gift from Diana. This fawn followed Sertorius everywhere. By tact, justice, and moderation, Sertorius won the devotion of the Spanish people, controlled the majority of the country, and defeated Sulla's generals, even his best, the great Metellus Pius, in battle after battle. Despite his battles against Roman armies, Sertorius never felt he was really at war with Rome or the Romans, but only with Sulla's government. After Sulla's death, it was easier for reconciliation, but the Senate was determined to keep fighting, and now they found another competent general. Pompey was put in command of an army, which he refused to disband, practically demanded to be sent to Spain. The Senate was very reluctant, fearing to entrust so dangerous a weapon as an army into the hand of a youth not yet old enough to hold the lowest political office. With misgivings, the Senate passed a decree conferring upon Pompey proconsular power and the chief command in Hither Hispania and Farther Hispania. Pompey, eventually Pompey the Great, was the son of Gnaeus Pompeius Strabo, who had fought in the social war. He was, as his father had been, the largest landowner in Picenum. He was a good athlete, he was an excellent swordsman, and at the age of 23 raised an army for Sulla. Sulla jokingly, but with real admiration, gave him the title Magnus, which of course equals great. He's cautious, even timid in warfare, as well as business and in human relations. He loved his wife and children, but he lacked the nerve to defy Sulla when Sulla demanded Pompey divorce his wife because she was from the wrong political family. Nor did he dare speak up for his friends who had helped him when he was in trouble, when Sulla struck them down before his very eyes. In battle, he seldom attacked unless assured that he had overwhelming numerical superiority. His one act of bravado was to insist that Sulla accord him a triumph after he defeated the Marian rebels in Sicily and Africa. As a statesman, Pompey was completely out of his element and was inept and short-sighted. He was also a poor public speaker, something that will curse him when he becomes part of the first triumvirate. He joined Sulla only because of his disgust with Marius and Cinna. So this was the man in whose hands the Senate thrust so much power. He had known how to use it. He could have been a new Sulla. So we send him to Spain. So we have Pompey versus Sertorius. When Pompey arrived in Spain in 76 BC, he found the military situation much more formidable than he had expected. Sertorius was a far superior tactician, as well as a field general. Twice Sertorius defeated Pompey with fewer troops. On one occasion, only the timely arrival of old General Metellus Pius saved Pompey's army from total annihilation. Pompey sent off a bitter letter to the Roman Senate demanding strong reinforcements, which of course finally arrived. However, only the assassination of Sertorius by Marcus Perpina Vent, who was an upper-class Roman who disliked Sertorius as an enlightened ruler. He invited Sertorius to a feast to talk about reconciliation, but it was a trap, and Sertorius was murdered. Sertorius's death led his followers to sue for peace with Pompey, and Pompey ultimately executed Perpina, followed Sertorius' example in dealing with the Spanish people with great justice, and created an honorable peace restoring Iberian prosperity and its laws, and was gratefully remembered by the Spanish people. He very much regretted the fact that Sertorius was assassinated because it diminished him, of course. He couldn't defeat him in battle, so he's assassinated, even though Pompey really did not set that up. This was another man doing it on his own. So that's the end of Sertorius, and another step in the movement of Pompey towards the top. Now the sources for this are The History of the Romans by Heckelheim and Yao, Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, History of the Romans by Bourne. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.